I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
To episode 39 of Hacker Voice Radio on the 30th of September 2005. It's it's coming up close to the last one, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the penultimate show, last but one.
Yeah.
Of season one, anyway. There will be more in time.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, my back's killing me. Oh. See, the beautiful thing now, you can actually see everything I'm doing.
Why would I want to? It's filthy.
Basically, in the couple of hours since I got back home, first I noticed that I was horribly unhealthy because I nearly died while cycling back home.
That's probably the fags.
Yes, most definitely. I then noticed that I was able... Well, first of all, my camera came and my new VoIP line came. I installed the VoIP line, works fine, works perfectly. Then I decided to bridge it into the mixer. So basically you can hear what's happening. If I call someone, which I will do now to show how it works.
Let's have a little demonstration.
So you can hear the dial tone right there.
Yep.
And I might call the Hacker Voice Radio thingy.
Cool.
If I can find the number. So, how's life?
Not bad, not bad. I'm very glad that it is not only Friday, but also payday.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Payday today. Oh,
thank
man.
Christ.
Fucking hell. I've been really short on cash with all the money I've been spending on various things, projects, and all that kind of stuff. So.
Same here, mate. I mean, the month of September for me started off in New York the first 3 days. Mm. And because I was wrapping up things there, a lot of the September paycheck got withdrawn over there in the States so I could pay the hotel bill. Yeah. I ran up like $1,000 on the hotel bill for like 5 days, something like that. People tell you it's cheap over there. Oh, go to New York, you get really cheap clothes, it's really good, you're fantastic, go shopping.
Yeah.
Well, that's all very well and good, but you still need somewhere to sleep.
Yes.
And the places where you sleep are fucking expensive, so it's not a cheap holiday. Cool place, but go there with a full wallet.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a mistake that I made. I went there with a thin wallet and paid the price. So I've been skint for like most of this month, pretty much.
Feels good, doesn't it, when you get something
like that. It feels good when your bank balance goes back into positive figures.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
You get a statement, there's not that negative sign at the start of it.
Well, remember, you still owe me £40, bitch.
I owe you for the thing, the THVCon room.
I'm taking
send you some cash?
Give it to me on the day, yeah, that's what I'm doing for everyone.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear how this phone sounds.
Good stuff.
Hopefully it will ring my phone right here on my desk. Well, on my computer, should I say.
Cool.
Or it will just ring some random person somewhere in the world, which I hope not. Yes.
There we go.
We have successfully achieved. so it goes to voicemail. This is a test of things fucking up a lot and me having to recalibrate this because I did it with a pair of scissors and some sellotape.
Old school!
Old school, baby!
Right. It's sounding very weird at this end now.
Yeah, right, I've cut that.
Okay, I think it sounds fine.
In a second or two, this will come up going, "Ah, you have a new voicemail, bitch."
Whoop-de-doo!
Right. Let's listen to me going.
Wow. This is a test of things fucking up a lot and me having to recalibrate this because I did it with a pair of scissors and some sellotape. Old school, baby!
Right. That was
weird.
Cool. Yeah. Hell, that works.
Yeah, it seems to work, mate.
Mm.
Good stuff.
Good, good. Yes, what else? The webcam thing, it's working. If you want to view it, you need Internet Explorer. And you need to go to... B3L1AL.homelinux.net. And the username is viewcam, and the password is PR0N. As always. From there, you'd be able to see a live feed from the webcam, which I've fucking, you know, took me a long time to set up. So it's all for you guys, and a little bit for me. You know, just when I'm at work, I can check up on what the hell's happening in my house.
Cool idea.
I might buy like another 6 of them, just wire up every single corner of my house. Just so I can... You can do that. You can actually wire up as many as you like and then have them like in little windows. So
yeah.
You just add cameras on top and you can view your entire house from there.
That's starting to be pushed as a real commercial feature as well.
Yeah.
If you go down PC World these days, they're selling kits that... the same thing, basically. It's kind of high-quality webcams that all plug into a central hub, and then the hub's got a web server on it. You hook all that into your router, and then you can check any of these cams where you've set them up in your house. And BT are doing one as well. It's a lot more expensive than the other solutions out there, but a lot of home users, they see the BT logo on the box, and they'll take it as a sign of quality.
Sure.
So... it's something that's going on a lot, and I think in the future we'll see a lot more of it. It's going to become pretty standard, I reckon.
Mm. Okay. How does the picture quality look in there?
It's all right. It's a bit grainy.
Yeah,
it is. But the frames per second seems pretty good.
Yeah, excellent.
It's cool. It's a lot better than some of the webcam sex sites I've been to. I mean, I've evaluated for technical reasons.
For purposeful research.
Now, if only you were a hot chick taking your top off.
That can
but
be arranged.
Hey, you can't have everything.
That can be arranged. As I said, premium rate customers.
You got to buy a Hacker Voice t-shirt to get that kind of filth.
Fuck yeah. And a beer for me.
Hell yeah.
You know what? I'm so fucking glad that it's the weekend now.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
Damn.
It's felt like it's been a long time coming this week. You know, you get those weeks and it seems that everybody... has the same thing. You talk to people at work and they're saying this week is taking forever, and then 2 weeks later you'll talk to people at work and they're going, holy shit, it's Friday already. So it's weird. It's like everyone seems to have the same concept of how long it's dragging on or how quick it's moving, but this week has been flipping slow. So I'm very glad it's Friday. Time for some beers and a load of Hacker Voice Radio.
Yeah. Right. What do we have in store? I've just changed that setting so it's not 2003 anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And, okay.
Yep, it's
interesting
working.
Interesting news to say would be that New Scientist, smart beer mat orders refills. A beer mat that knows when a glass is nearly empty and automatically asks for a refill has been created by thirsty researchers in Germany. Andreas Butz at the University of Munich.
Butz.
Yeah, Butz. At the University of Munich, and Michael Schmitz from Saarland University came up with an idea out of drinking with their students. The disc-shaped mat can be attached to a normal beer mat so that it will soak up spilt liquid and display an advertisement. But also it can contain a pressure sensor with an audio transmitter to alert bar staff of the need of a refill. The device weighs 110 grams and the cost of $100 to make. The Buds and Schmidt think the weight and cost would shrink the mat where to be mass-produced. They say that the mat could also be used for interactive TV events as contents and alcometers capable of sensing when it has been waved in the air. I've been discussing this with a friend of mine as an expert pub goer. it's basically a beer mat that looks like a little dome that you put your beer on, and it will actually sense when you're running out of beer, and it will order more beer for you. I'm just trying to think, when it gets to the middle, does it think it's half full or half empty?
I don't know, maybe they put a pessimism chip in it, or an optimism chip, but you know.
Exactly.
This is actually the one piece of content I was going to bring to the show tonight.
What's that, the beer?
Yeah, this exact story.
Did I steal it from you?
No, you didn't, but
sorry, man.
This is all I've got. I'm empty now. Obviously, this caught my eye because it fuses two of my great loves in life, cool technology gadgets and beer.
Yeah.
So it's like a little pressure sensor with a radio frequency kind of signal. What's it?
Yeah.
Thingamabob, very technical terms I'm using here.
Yeah.
So you put your...
That's way over the top of my head, mate.
I know, I'm very smart, obviously. Yeah. I pretend to be. So you put your pint down on it, and it's obviously just checking the weight of the glass and the contents, and as that goes down, it will reach a certain setting where it's just pretty much the glass and a little bit of beer. Mm. It will say, oi, barmaid for you, and get another beer over. The only downside I see to this is leaving the bar. Because when you're trying to drink up, if, let's say, you're in a 24-hour bar and you go, right, I'm going to go after this one, and then you put your beer down back on the beer mat and it says, oi, barmaid, give me another one.
Yeah.
You know? And they bring you over another one, so that'll be £5. Oh, shit. What? Mm. Oh, all right. Fine. You know, the beer mat ordered it. I didn't. I think it might kill people. But I do think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, you could literally go on drinking forever until you actually passed out on the device.
it's like a really good excuse for alcoholics. Yeah. It wasn't me, officer.
The
beer mat kept ordering more.
Oh, man.
I wonder if that will stand up in court.
I wonder if you could stand up in court. Yeah.
I think it's great that two real academic guys, the Andreas Butz from the University of Munich and Michael Schmitz from the Saarland University, they're using their collective genius to come up with a better way of getting beer.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Oh, yeah. More beer, the better.
Yeah.
Ooh, there's a question posted on Slashdot. Hacking, art or science? The argument regarding the principle of the nature of hacking, be it in art or science, is not a new one. This paper hopes to discuss URL for that is whitedust.net/article39/hacking-art-or-science. Both the meaning of the term hack and the underlying arguments for it being defined as an art or a science in reference to the base principle and basic methodologies of the discipline. So, in your opinion, is hacking an art or a science? Go ahead.
I'd have to say it's 50-50.
Yeah.
Right down the middle, because the whole thing about hacking is you're making a... Well, let's use the modern term. You're making a machine do something that it wasn't designed to do.
Mm.
Hacking goes back throughout the ages. It's basically thinking outside the box, approaching the problem in a new, novel way,
yeah,
and coming up with a solution that the standard following the rules kind of thinking wouldn't have given you. I mean, bloody Darwin was a hacker, you know, if you ask me. Yeah. Anyway, he's there and they're telling him, oh yes, we were created by God and that's all there is to it. Yeah. Those are the rules. And he starts looking into evolution. Yeah. So shut your mouth, bitch. So he starts looking into evolution and he's like, no, wait a minute, I reckon you're wrong, because I've got this thing here. Now bear with me, it's a wacky theory, but I reckon that these creatures have evolved over time from these creatures over here. And
they all fucked each other until they all went a bit weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? And
perfect example, me and you.
What kind of weird bastard love child would we have? Good God.
Oh, no, never mind.
That's what you meant inside, I know.
It's true. I have deep-rooted feelings for you, planet. I talk to you every night.
I love you.
Yeah.
And the guy, I can't remember who it was who did it first, where they were telling him the world's flat and that's all there is to it. He gets on his boat, he goes, right, we'll see about this, fuckers. Heads in the direction, and eventually he comes around the world the other way, and he goes, it's not flat, you assholes. That is hacking. It is taking a established idea and challenging it. So that isn't really science, because science claims it knows everything already and it's dictating you the facts. Art is kind of, well, you know, let's put the rules aside for a minute and see where we can go with this. So I believe it is pretty much 50-50 art and science, personally. How about yourself?
I think, it depending on what you're doing, I think it could be either, because if you're implementing it in a beautiful way, like a project, or, you know, doing something really kind of cutting edge. Do you see what I mean? You can go all the way, and I think it's art. Most definitely it's art, because hacking is just so broad. You could be, you know, doing this. You could be literally what we're doing now. This is art, is it not?
Yeah, it's probably very crap art.
Come on, man. Also, in art in the simplistic sense, ASCII. I mean, come on, guys. Those hackers were old school, baby, but they came up with some beautiful stuff. As in the science sense, I think it's researching protocols, researching hardware, manipulating hardware so that it works better. You see what I mean?
Yeah, you definitely do have to implement the science side of it, the established facts, understand them, implement them, and but also at the same time think, what if?
Yeah.
You know, what if they're wrong? What if this could, if not be broken, then bent? You know, and kind of see where you can go with established ideas.
Yeah.
So as you can tell, I'm pretty adamant that it's 50-50 right down the wire.
I think it's not as much as being it's not as much as it being 50-50. I think it's more the case of how you look at it, or what's happening.
What you're
hacking. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm actually quite happy that my webcam now is working and everybody is able to see me. So, which is cool.
Now take your clothes off and do a little dance. I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Oh, I'm too sexy for my headphones.
I can see you actually taking those off.
Yeah. I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Please stop at the headphones. Sexy, it was a joke. That's weird. It really is live.
Yeah.
There's no delay on this thing yet. That's cool.
That's my fast network, baby.
So yeah.
There's data here, and the data's right there. Goes from here to there in a second. It's like
that's
Chris Moyle,
thought,
only more skinnier.
Skinnier, funnier, and nice. Less of an arsehole. I'm not a big fan of Moyle.
I tell you what, mate, I saw him 3 days ago.
Yeah?
In person, walking down my road. Well, not my road, but where I work, because it's very close to the place where they actually do the thing. I saw the cunt walking past me, and I was talking to Sapphire on the phone, and I'm like, "Ah, it's fucking Chris Moyles!" Yeah.
You didn't kick him in the balls or anything?
No, he was talking
Damn
to
it.
Someone. He's pretty big in real life. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, he's a big fella.
Yeah.
Most of it's around his gut.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hardly one to fucking criticise, it's just... I don't find the man funny and I find him an arsehole. So that's why I'm criticising him.
I don't listen to too much of his stuff, so...
I used to. The thing that gets me is he used to be really, really funny. He was in, I think, BBC Radio Leeds, local station there for the local area.
Yeah.
He got noticed. The guy's got talent.
Yeah.
And then he got promoted to Radio 1, and he was doing the early morning breakfast show, which finishes at like 7 a.m. So the guy's on like 4 a.m. till 7 a.m. And I used to hear that sometimes doing an early start at work. And what he'd done there was he'd really prepared his material.
Yeah.
He'd really kind of done the legwork on it. He'd written it, he'd researched it, and he'd tested it out on people to make sure that what he was going to say on the radio was funny.
Yeah.
And then when he did say that, it was brilliant. The guy, when he does his work, is really, really funny.
Yeah.
And then he gets promoted to the main breakfast show, and he just got lazy. Mm. Most of the time, when it wakes me up, all he's doing is shouting at the other people in his studio, which is basically what Chris Evans was doing X amount of years ago.
That's
when he was doing it. It's like, I haven't got any material, but maybe if I can look, maybe if I can make my colleague look stupid, then people will laugh at them, and that's kind of a cheap joke. And that's no bloody substitute for proper written comedy. It's just like picking apart what his co-workers are doing. And going, oh, you're such a moron. Oh, you've got a funny accent. Oh, you're so stupid. It's like, oh, jeez, leave the poor man, woman, dog alone. You know, write some material. You have got talent. Don't just berate people as a cheap version of comedy. So that's why I hate him.
Oh, man.
Oh, a little rant there.
A little rant.
That was sponsored by Pepsi Cola.
Shit, man, you're getting all these fucking promotions.
Not yet. I'm
got
just.
Shit all.
I'm waiting for the checks.
What is it? Is it me? Is it. Man, cut me some slack here. I need some dosh.
I think I'm just more of a psychopath.
Okay. I'll take that.
I'll agree with that.
I'll agree with that. Now, for everyone that's viewing the webcam, I'm going to show you my C++ book right there. This is quite a nice baby if you're interested in learning C++. This is pretty cool because I can do like a little show and tell, you know.
Programming C++.
I'm currently holding up a Orinoco Wi-Fi card. You know, this card comes PCMS card. It's retailing at £50. Call in right now and you can take a piece of card to check.
Operators are standing by.
To take your call right now. Also, I'm selling auditor security distribution for anyone that's willing. It's going to be $39.99. It's a quality product. You're able to scan any network with Kismet. It comes bootable from there. Ring in, callers are waiting. Operators are waiting to take your call. All major credit cards are accepted.
So you think we should kind of meld Hacker Voice Radio with QVC?
Maybe some flashing lights. How about that? Flashing lights straight off a bicycle that I've stolen.
Get them while they're hot.
Disco, 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 disco. Disco inferno. Ah, that's enough of that. Yeah. Okay.
Where are we?
Where are we? We are.
Where's Scobie these days, by the way?
He's playing, he's playing fucking...
Playing hide the sausage with his new chick.
No, he's playing, Eve Online or something like that.
Oh, yeah, you said last night.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So, yeah. Well, we're working hard.
We're busting our balls here.
Fucking around, man.
Not seen him in ages, no.
Yeah. He's a poop. Yes, I know you're listening because I can see your IP.
We know you're out there.
Yes. Oh, man. BBC, coming, blah, blah, blah. Prepping up Windows.
Yippity doo.
Peer-to-peer users are more likely to cheat, shoplift. Okay. The new research report, sponsored by Recording Industry, so should definitely be objective, suggests that those who download music online are also likely to cheat at school, university, and to shoplift. Oh my god! You're all fucking shoplifters! Give yourselves up now, before it's too late. I urge you, free your soul! Free your soul!
We have you surrounded.
Yeah, there is no escape. From the Globe and Mail, not only does music file swapping harm artists, but it also points to an erosion of respect for intellectual property that threatens the Canada's economic and values. The core of our society is threatened by you copying from Kazaa.
What's next?
Oh, man.
I mean, fucking, that's one step away from saying downloading MP3s. You know, hurts the environment.
Bad person. Yeah. You will go
it
to hell.
It melts the polar ice caps, yeah. And you're responsible
it
for the state of the world.
It pokes children in the eye.
I mean, all this shit that's going on in the UK at the minute with Jonathan Ross getting into this campaign about pirated DVD supports terrorism, or as he would say, terror with them.
Terrorism. Pirated
terror with them.
Supports terrorism. It's bad for Russia, and it's bad for your cash.
How dare you support terrorism? Fucking what? Downloading it.
The other they may.
How is that supporting terrorism? Here's my computer. Here's the download program. I've downloaded a DVD. What?
Yeah.
Does that mean that the bloody Al-Qaeda have just got funds from that? Bollocks, does it?
Man.
Ah!
Yeah, because...
Winds me up.
Like, how... Like, you know, they say the recording industry has lost 6,000 million... Do these pirates, like, in China have, like, you know, turnover files and they have their finance records. You know, we've made 6,000 million in the past year, you know, okay with the overheads, we had to buy 6,000 CDs, you know, burning costs, you know, electricity we used, you know, people we
labor
had to pay off,
heating,
labor,
yeah.
Heating, and to pay off the mortgage on the property. Roughly, the gross profit, it's about 6.5. And we'll just send that off, you know, on our tax returns.
I'm sure they've got a full profit and loss account.
Of course,
handing
you know.
Out. Yeah. Thing is, the basic figures, it's like if you go out and you downloaded 200 megs worth of MP3s, that equates to X amount of albums. And if you'd have gone out and bought those, then it would have been this much. And they assume that that's actually a loss.
Yeah.
You know... What? just because I downloaded it doesn't mean I was going to go out and buy it. When you download something, you're free to experiment. You're free to try new avenues of music.
Precisely.
And it is beneficial, believe it or not, because you can download an area of music. Let's say I have always hated drum and bass or something like that, and I just don't want anything to do with it.
I'll just stop it playing from in the background.
No, I do actually like it, but I'm just using it as an example.
Okay.
You know, a few double clicks later, I can try it, and if I find something good, hell, tomorrow I'm going down HMV with that artist's name burnt into my brain, and I'm going to say to the shop assistant, where the hell do you keep the CDs from these guys? Because they're damn good.
Yeah.
I love their music, and I want to support what they're doing. I want them to carry on and do more of this shit.
Yeah.
You know? But I'd never have found it if it wasn't for downloading, because I'm not going to go down HMV and pay you 12 quid on a total wild gamble. In a music genre that I think I don't like. It is beneficial, but they can't see past that. They're just seeing the losses and not the gains.
Oh, man.
I'm a bit angry tonight, I think. I'm going off passionately
about
a few things.
It's something that has to be, you know, talked about, and it has to be said. I don't see how they could equate any financial fucking amount that they've lost.
They'd never have had it. How can you lose something you've never had?
Yeah.
Ooh. This is something I've gone on about before, and most likely I will do again. But yeah, it's just these old dinosaur kind of companies still thinking about the way business was done in the 1970s and trying to apply it to the modern world. And the modern world is fucking light years away from the 1970s when you were making hand over fist money, and it's light years away from the 1990s, the last decade, when they had a complete stranglehold over the way you experience media with the TV and buying VHS cassettes and buying CDs and so on and so forth.
You know, it's like they didn't try and stop you from copying VHS's onto one to another. You know, you'd go around to your mate's house with your VHS with your VHS player, and you'd basically plug him up, you'd make it so that one records, one plays, and you've copied, you know, a few movies over, and you're like, safe mate, and go back home and watch them. Truthfully, as I've kind of matured over the years, I just like, I'd watch something once, and then, you know, I wouldn't buy stuff because I know I won't watch it. I'll watch it once and I'll throw it away. So that's why I'll download a movie. If it sucks, it sucks. I've deleted it. If I like it, then I keep it and I watch it again, like with some epic films that I still have and I still watch because, you know, they're saved on a few hard disks.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Personally, I'm a big consumer. I'm one of these obsessive compulsive DVD buyers.
Yeah, oh man.
And CD as well. I have a very impressive CD collection, a very impressive DVD collection.
So do I, but it's all virtual.
Mine's actually physical, you can touch it. But I've been screwed over so many times by reviews saying, this album's great, go and buy it, and then you buy it and it's a load of shit. This film is fantastic, go and see it. You go see it at the cinema, £7 please, okay. And you walk out thinking, that's £7 and 2 hours of my life that's never coming back. You download something first, it's kind of morality really. You download it, you get to see it for free, and then it's up to you. You really should support the people who made what you've just seen if you enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's if you enjoy it. If it's a piece of shit, then they don't deserve your money because they're feeding you shit.
Yeah.
And who wants to pay for that? If they're feeding you gold, you know, absolute dynamite, whatever, you know, video, music, comedy, whatever your thing is, if it's absolutely fantastic, then you should support them.
Yeah.
And there's been so many instances where I've downloaded something and I just thought, that is beautiful. I'm going out tomorrow and I'm buying that on DVD. I know I've already seen it the day before. The DVD is probably going to sit on my shelf, shrink-wrapped, for at least a few months until I want to see it again. But I want to support you for what you've done, because you're doing it well, and I really think you should continue doing it. and that is what I do a lot of, and then just kill the downloaded copy.
Yeah.
Don't need it anymore, got it on the DVD shelf, yeah. You know.
Yeah, that's a good way of doing things.
Yeah, it's kind of like the honor system, you know, you get it for free, and then if you like it, you support it, you go and pay for it, you know. It's not a perfect model, obviously, because people download things and say, yeah, it's really good, but fuck you. You know, which is kind of harmful, because then the people who are making it don't get any funds, and they go, oh shit, you know, can't pay the mortgage, I've got to go down McDonald's and ask for a job, and then it dries up. Whereas if you support it, they can carry on for years, giving you good things that you like.
Oh, man.
End rant.
Right. What else? Do you know what?
I need a cigarette after that.
Yeah.
It's like blowing my load.
I've had so many already, man. Something really cool. Physics.org is reporting a big step forward in development of magnetic microchips. Since their initial creation of magnetic logic gates in 2002, an international team of researchers from Durham University, Imperial College, London University, and the University of Sheffield has created a number of further logic gates and created interconnecting structures using magnetic nanowaves, which now produce the logic functions of a conventional computer. That's amazing. Fucking great. Now, I urge anyone who's interested in some hardware hacking to go down to your local Maplin and check out some of their like electronic boards. If you can, purchase a few logic gates, because logic gates are the fundamental principles of computers. Create yourself a personalized calculator with a few AND and OR logic gates, and wire them up so that when you wish to make wire them up so in a binary fashion, so that let's say 2 and 2 equals 4, because of the way that each digit will activate each logic gate to create that value of 4. And then once you've done that, you can actually wire it up to a digital display and have that digital display display the numeral decimal 4, which is fucking fantastic. I used to do this when I was probably about 15, 16, something like that. And it just, it takes a lot of time, dedication, and soldering. But once you've done it, you're like, ah! I've made the calculator! And you go, look, I've made a calculator! And then somebody pulls out a calculator and goes, look, my one's better, because it actually fucking works. But, you know, once you've actually done something like that, it's fantastic, the feeling's great, and then the only thing you can do is actually make more transistors, more logic gates, more this, more that. Make it store some memory, you know, assign like addresses so that you have like 8-bit memory assigned to this hex value, and you can actually place a value into the memory while it's trying to do something else. And then once you've done that, why not make it so that it has different structures to it, so that it can call memory from different parts of its own system, which is pretty much what a computer does. Whereas input goes in, it's assigned to an address. It does something with that, and then it spits out on value. So if you could do that, you could pretty much make your own computer from home. It's what people have been doing for the last few... Well, the last 30 decades.
30-something years, yeah. That's where it all started, mate. Calculators evolving into computers.
Exactly.
Just listen to Steve Wozniak's little... two-part speech, which is often broadcast on Hacker Voice Radio.
It
very,
is,
very
yes.
cool.
Yeah.
That man knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he does. And the only reason, you know, he did that because he was forced to do that, whereas now you have the choice to do it. And it's very hard to make yourself do something if you don't really have to do it. You know, the problem with that is that you just... like, ah, this is going to take forever. How long will it take me to learn this? It's not really a matter of how long will it take you to learn it. It could take you 6 years to learn something, depending on how long you spread it over the time. If you've got like a week free and you assign 30, well, if you assign you know, 3 hours of that each day of the week to learn something, like how, you know, how electronic and logic gates work, you pretty much, you know, get the gist of the basics by the end of that week. And yeah. In the next week, you can start experimenting with it. You know, it's just how dedicated you are to what you're doing. It's all it is. You know, it's not like, oh, this will take me years to learn, I just won't fucking bother. You could take that approach, but then you'll pretty much not get anywhere in life.
Yeah, you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
But I think the people we're speaking to are the motivated, curious people, hackers, yeah. If you will.
Napster. Fucking, yep. Fucking around with my computer.
He'll fuck around with anything.
I know.
You put it in front of him.
Which is good. This is why I'm actually going to dedicate a computer so that people like Kim and me can, and you and everyone else can, you know, literally go into it, fuck around with it, but you basically, it's you have to have some respect for it, you know.
Absolutely.
If you make it so that I can't, you know, get it back to the way it was in a matter of like 3 hours, then what you've done is ridiculous, and I probably won't receive. You won't have that because basically, if you down the server completely, so much so that nobody else can have a play around with it, then you know you've gone against the hacker way. If you see what I mean.
Again, it's kind of like the honor system. Yeah. You know, go on there, learn new things. Yeah. This is being provided for free as a tool for education. Yeah. But if you go on there and fuck around, then that tool is going to be taken away.
Sure, yeah.
So,
exactly. And, you know, leave a message. Do something funny with it, for God's sake. You know, play around with it. When I do set it up, I really will open it up as much as I can, so that people will be able to play around with it, you know. And and obviously Ionix is going to help me out with this as well, hopefully, I guess. Cool. I'm just assuming, you know, because it's just, it was great fun when I opened up, you know, I opened up my laptop so that people could SSH into it. It was fun to see what it actually looks like when you're being attacked, you know, when your network is being penetrated, and you can actually see what would happen on a Linux system and what would happen on a Windows system. Basically, on a Windows system, you wouldn't fucking know. You'd get owned in, you know, in 10, 15 minutes, basically. You can assure yourself that your computer will no longer exist. On a Linux system, you can pretty much tell as soon as something has happened what commands have been executed and how to get rid of that person from your computer, which in the most quickest and easiest way is literally to unplug your Ethernet cable out of the fucking connection.
Yep.
That will pretty much kill all sessions.
pretty much, it will kill every remote session, absolutely.
Unless he's an Uber hacker and he can hack you through the air.
Hack you with his mind. And then you're fucked anyway. If that's happening, then pull out the power cable. That will stop him.
Oh, if he's even Uber than that, he'll be able to hack you without any electricity at all.
Then you're fucked.
Yeah, then you're fucked.
Oh, man. Who is this Uber hacker that you're dreaming of? Bloody Gandalf or someone like that?
Oh, man. He's acid burn.
Not crash override.
No. Oh, you know what? I think we've got quite a lot of projects for a small amount of people going.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
It's kind of good.
It's cool stuff. It's keeping us busy, anyway.
Yeah.
Keeps us out of trouble.
I just want to find out who did the DIR command on my laptop. When I saw that, I was I was pissing myself with laughter. I'm not calling you a noob, whoever did it. It's just when you're on a Linux system and you do a DOS command on it to list the directories, even though it will work, any sysadmin looking at a DIR command will just, you know, either die of a heart attack laughing or call the police. So, you know, don't do it.
Well, that's part of what you're doing, really, is to... get a box out there that people can SSH into and learn about, you know, so whoever did it is probably learning because you're now telling them off.
Oh, there is no username and password for SSH anymore. Because I've turned it off.
All right.
Yeah, they're just asking in the IRC.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess Rani is trying to SSH back into something that doesn't exist anymore. It's probably... I don't know what assigned... I don't think anything is assigned for at the moment on my network. Let me just see. Right. 192. Just forgot what my structure of my system was there for a second. Oh my god, hacks. Ah, there we go.
Hacksaws, help me!
I've been hacksawed. My megahertz have been stolen.
There's a new story I've just stumbled over, which is from our good friends at the BBC.
Yeah.
I come up with quite a few stories for them, from them, because they do have a very good technology section, and it's up to date. It's very, very cool.
Yeah.
You can check that out, BBC.co.uk, yeah. Obviously. But here's a story. Sony's PlayStation has won an Emmy.
Wow.
From the USA National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. The console was honored with an Outstanding Achievement in Technology and Advanced New Media Award for its early work on 3D polygon-based gaming.
Yeah.
So they've been given an Emmy for releasing the PlayStation.
Wow.
That's weird. I'm sure they didn't do it to make the world a better place. I'm sure they didn't do it for the awards. I'm pretty convinced they did it for the money.
Yeah. I would have done it for the money.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's going on about a load of bollocks here about how they've pushed the borders of 3D gaming, and I can't even be asked to read this because it's obviously such a load of old shite. Mm. It's corporations patting themselves on the back, basically.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more deserving people out there who are actually doing stuff with computers for the love of it.
Yeah.
And like to see how far it can be pushed. Well, yeah, us to an extent. Where's my fucking Emmy?
Yeah. Where's my Emmy for chopping up my phone and putting it into my mixer, eh?
I think mine would be an Emmy for swearing and smoking.
Yeah.
You look at firms like ID, who are really pushing 3D.
Yeah.
You know, when they were doing Castle Wolfenstein, Doom 2, 3, pretty soon 4, I expect, and Quake and everything like that.
Yeah.
They were pushing the boundaries of 3D and what was capable.
Mm.
You know, not the bloody PlayStation, they were making a console.
They're just a console, yeah.
To make money. They were making the hardware, not even the software, you know. And
making to extend the software, the firmware and stuff like that.
Yeah, they were making
nice
the stuff that that goes on the chips and that. But the real genius of a computer is people who code it,
yeah.
Not the people who make it. You look back in the good old days of like the Commodore 64 and the Amiga.
Yeah.
Some of the Commodore 64's best work came out in its dying days. Because by then, people knew how to use it. They knew the proper way of coding it and just how far you could push this hardware. And same with the Amiga, you know. Whereas the modern-day world we're in, you get a graphics card, comes out every year or so that beats the pants off everything before it. So the coders are always kind of playing catch-up. There's not one stable level of hardware that they have to really push and really know and really bloody work with. It's just like, oh well, we've created this new first person shooter and it'll only run if you've got £1,000 computer.
Mm.
Oh great. Fucking laziness basically. But I'm going off on another one. It's one of those nights, mate.
I know what you mean. Oh, I'm just fueling your fire here.
Mm-hmm.
Internet Explorer 4 exposes users to spoof-based attacks. An article by CNET discussed a new spoof-based attack on Internet Explorer. From the article, the problem lies in the way Microsoft has implemented a JavaScript component in its web browser. Security researcher Amit Klein wrote in a research document, Internet Explorer does not validate some data fields provided by a PC when the component called XML HTTP request is used. He also wrote the vulnerability could be exploited with specially crafted code. An attacker could spoof a legitimate website, access data from the website's browser cache, or stage a so-called man-in-the-middle attack, which taps into traffic between a user and another website, according to Klein's write-up. I'm just not really surprised there.
Yeah, there's a flaw in Internet Explorer.
Oh my gosh.
Oh Christ. That's news. What are we going to do? Yeah.
Just not use Internet Explorer for anything, you know, apart from the things that you're really fucked with, because you have to use them.
Yeah, use it when you have to, I think it's the solution, mate.
Exactly. Which is why I've been bitching a bit, because of my webcam thingy. It only it seems to only support certain versions of Mozilla and Internet Explorer above 5.0. I had to upgrade the firmware to my webcam earlier on to be able to make it compatible with a few other browsers. I haven't had the chance to test it out because I can't locally loop back into it. It just doesn't work. So, you know, anyone willing to connect to it with different browsers, let me know what happens, because I want to find out. Also, I embedded it into our website, but it didn't quite work the way I wanted to. I'm still trying to debug what's going on there. It's going to take some time because it's like a live stream connecting through a firewall, connecting to this, to that, and it's just madness. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm just checking it out with Opera at the minute. Opera 8.5,
wow.
Which was recently made free.
Mm.
And it got 1 million downloads, I think, in either 1 or 2 days. I reckon it's 2 days. 1 million downloads. And it's not working. So it doesn't work under Opera 8.5, as far as I can tell.
Well, thanks for that.
That's cool. There's probably a way of getting it working. You know, if you find the video codec and install it manually, maybe that'll shake it out of its lull.
Well, it's
just
MPEG.
It's just a standard MPEG.
Yeah, it's just a standard version 2 MPEG. The only thing is you see that actual plugin that you installed, that enables you to do some cool stuff to the actual image that you're viewing of me right now. If you right click on me, you can actually save the live recording onto your hard disk. You can even save the picture that you're viewing, and also you can view and resize the image to how you like. And you can. What else can you do to it? You can rotate it.
I've just rotated
you
180 degrees.
Whoa!
Help!
Come on, man, this isn't fair.
Okay, back to normal.
Thanks.
Pew! That's pretty cool.
You can also rotate me to the side and flip me over vertically, horizontally, any way you like, and have a
sweet talker.
Yeah, exactly. You can also view the frames per second there as well. I'm currently hitting 7.6 at the moment. You might be getting a little bit less than that. I don't know.
Just trying to find the thing for the frames per second.
Yeah.
There she is. Yeah.
It actually depends on how large the image is.
Mm.
It's around 7 frames per second. I don't know how much you're getting.
I'm getting about 1.
Really?
Yeah, 1 frame per second.
Fair enough. Seeing as this is a local connection and it's about... Yeah, that's cool.
It's looking good, mate.
Yeah, cool. You can also modify, you know, the size and all that kind of stuff. So that's basically...
Oh, yeah.
That's,
just did that.
Yeah, that's basically that's why it might not work in Opera, because that plugin is only supported by Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, I've researched the company. They provide support for Mozilla. I'm just trying to work out which one it works with and stuff like that. But I'll let people know.
Well, I think if a lot of people start using browsers such as Firefox and Opera, then it will force companies like this to support them. There's no other way around it.
Yeah, it's not supported by Firefox, which is something I was really sad at work. Also, the firmware downgrade does not comply with Internet Explorer security settings, so you won't actually even be able to view me at all unless I upgraded my firmware, which is what I had to do. So I had to do some tinkering around with that. Also, the nice thing is I can actually view the firmware, edit it in a hex hacker editor, and create my own firmware for this device, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And basically, what I was trying to do is embed that image of me with the right click, with the right clickability into the actual web browser. It's coming up as a grey background, but it's not coming up with the actual image of me moving around in the actual live feed from the cam. So I think there's a breakdown in communication somewhere, but it's something I'm not going to be touching on tonight, because I'll probably spend all night trying to fix it.
Yeah, I think you've spent enough of your Friday night fucking around with hacker things, to be honest. Taking your phone apart and jamming the wires in different places and setting up your webcam, you know. That's enough work for one night, mate. Kick back, take it easy.
Oh yeah, this is something I'm going to need this weekend. Had a long week. Been pissing around with a few things, had a few problems with this and that, but it's all good. It all seems to have sorted itself out.
Best thing is it's all over now.
Yeah, exactly.
And once again, it's payday!
Yeah, once again. Just to remind everyone, we're all getting
I've been
paid.
Saying that all day.
Yeah. Funny enough, so have I.
It's like the last week of the month I've just been trying to stay in, not do anything, not go to any shops, even if it's for a can of pop. It's like, oh god, what I've got in my pocket is pretty much what I've got in total.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I really want to go out and see what new DVDs there are, but I can't.
Yeah. How have you been for like cigarettes and stuff like that?
Oh, trust me, I always budget for cigarettes and booze.
Oh, yeah. You've got it, man. It's just a vital necessity in life, you know.
Yeah, it's like there's a food chain with my expenses. Number one is the mortgage. Number two is the fags. Number three is the beer. Probably number four is the ADSL connection.
Yeah.
Everything else will fall into place.
So you did include food there somewhere?
No. Food kind of comes under cigarettes, in that I can delay food with cigarettes.
Yeah, that's true. I'm in a real kind of lose weight regime with my bike. It's just, I tell you what, man, I really am unfit riding that fucking bike. Just, it's not a great distance from my house to work. But I was like, sweating like a fucking pig, man, and. I don't know. I just thought, right, you know, I've got to do something about this. I've got to get fit. I don't know about quitting smoking, because that's going to be a major task. I don't think I'm prepared to do that right now with the amount of stress and stuff in my life, because it's just going to spaz me out, right one. You know what I mean? I'm going to need something. You need something to keep you going, man. And currently,
to chill you out.
Currently doing this and smoking cigarettes is basically keeping me going in life.
Cigarettes, if you quit them, it will help with your health, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not breaking some grand news here or anything like that.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to get fit and stuff like that, then quitting the fags will, after a couple of weeks, increase your lung capacity, and you'll just be able to work out for longer, cycle for longer, you know, whatever your weapon of choice is. So that is kind of the cornerstone of it. But also, if you're not used to it, and then you start cycling, then over time, you know, you get better and you get more used to it.
I haven't cycled in years, man. The funniest thing was, on the way back, I actually stopped, sat down on a bench, lit up a cigarette, smoked it all the way, got back on my bike, and fucking rode right off.
Felt better, yeah.
I felt much better. Oh, I could really go on.
I knew a guy who was a real big smoker, and it was this was in Australia. And I got pissed, and I talked to him down the bar one night, and he was saying, yeah, that first cigarette in the day, that just sorts you out, you know. You wake up, you're coughing, you know, you can't breathe, right? You're spitting out phlegm, and it's horrible, and you're thinking to yourself, that's it, I've got to, I'm done with cigarettes, I'm going to quit, I'm sick of them, this isn't worth it. He says, you know, and yet you don't really get your shit together until you have the first cigarette of the day. And then you stop coughing, and you stop hacking up all this phlegm and stuff. And it's like, how the fuck do I quit when cigarettes are the solution to the problem, which was caused by cigarettes? And, you know.
It's like a never-ending spiral, man.
Yeah, well, that's why they're addictive, you know. That and all the crap they put in it.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know.
The best thing you could do is actually start smoking roll-ups, because then you know what you're putting inside them. So you're getting the pure tobacco and the nicotine, and you get you get a really big buzz from them. You know, recently I had a roll-up, and it gave me that zing. You know, that zing you get in your head that you don't always get with a cigarette.
With a cigarette from a pack,
exactly.
Also, one of the great things, I actually tried this a few years ago to give up smoking by only smoking roll-ups.
Yeah.
So, you know, my theory basically was, I can't roll up a cigarette for shit.
Yeah.
If somebody put a gun against my head and said, roll a cigarette, I'd be dead.
Yeah.
So I thought, right, this is the only way I'm going to smoke from now on. So, if I want to smoke, I've got to roll up a cigarette, so I can't just pull one out of my pocket, light it, and bonk. You know, you've got to go through this whole rigmarole where you don't really know what you're doing, and it's going to be shit because you rolled it wrong and
it
stuff like that.
Tastes like crap in your mouth.
Yeah, and that's really going to put you off it, and you're going to think mentally, this just isn't worth it, and you're going to just throw them all in the bin and walk away from it. Only problem was, now that started working for about 2 months, my smoking level went way down. I mean, to like about 4 a day, something like that, from 20 plus. The problem was, after a couple of months of doing this, I actually got good at rolling cigarettes. You know, I could roll them with my eyes closed after a while. Because it's just like, duh, 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 duh. Once you got the technique down, it is piss. You roll one, bang, it takes you a couple of seconds longer than pulling one out of a pack and setting fire to it. So she gave up that method and just said, it's not fucking worth it, they taste worse.
Try and do it
less enjoyable.
Yeah. And you learn that.
I'm going to handcuff my right hand behind my back.
Now you have to do it with your foot.
So I went back to the normal fags, because the roll-ups, I could do them pretty quick, and I got up to, you know, about the normal level I was smoking at, and they just weren't as nice. So I thought, well, why are you doing this? Fucking stupid. So, went back on the fags. By the way, I am an expert on giving up smoking, because I've tried it so many times.
Yeah. Always failed.
Always, always, always.
Oh, we've done an hour, man.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oops.
Fuck. Fair enough. Passed quite quickly.
Goes quick when you're throwing a couple of rants.
Yeah, exactly. Shall we call it a night, then?
Yeah, let's sign off. This is the penultimate show of Hacker Voice Radio. Yeah. There's one more.
Before
the end of season.
And we will be taking a week's break. 2 weeks break.
Thank God.
From the actual, from doing the shows every night.
But hopefully we'll see everyone who's listening at the THVCon.
Definitely.
We'll down in London.
Check us, you know, it's not like we're just like quitting now for 2 weeks. You know, everything's going to be as normal. We just won't be broadcasting every night for 2 weeks, you know, to be able to regain some energy, concentrate on different things, build up some things, you know, make stuff look nice on the website, get the blogs working, get various things like that going. And then
try and improve the audio quality on my end and stuff like that. So although you won't hear us every single night, there's a lot of work that will continue every single night behind the scenes.
Definitely.
So that hopefully we can bring you a better product.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Cool.
That's the plan.
That's the plan.
What do we got for closing music?
Closing music? Nothing much, really.
Have you, sir, got any David Bowie?
No, sir.
Oh.
You know what? You should really send
swear words.
Swear words.
I've really got to start sending you some MP3s that start this show.
Basically, I've forgotten that number again to my mobile, but I will post it up on the forums as soon as I find it out.
Yeah, didn't somebody put it in IRC last night?
Yeah,
if anyone is listening and they know the mobile phone number for Belial's temporary mobile phone type thing, I am taking very long to say this sentence so that the people in IRC have time to respond.
And also, a call-in number for me, for the UK, is 0207-993-5522, which is going to be... Currently, the phone is hooked up to my mixer, so the sound quality is a bit fucked up, which is what we were testing out before. It's a private line for basically hacking. So I'm separating my other phone so that, you know, people don't ring me up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Cool.
So you know, we've just got so many ways of getting in touch with us. It's unbelievable. I don't think any other show has like how many numbers we've got. We've got the Skype. We've got the we've got the SIP phone to dial in from the show. We've got now this one to get in touch with us. What else?
Well, there's obviously all the old school methods, which is
email.
Yeah, email it's... radio at hackervoice.co.uk. Email Belial at hackervoice.co.uk. Email Planet Leave at hackervoice.co.uk.
Yeah.
There's a theme going on.
Yeah.
And thank God for Rani. Here's the number for Belial's temporary mobile.
It is 07840454093. And
that's
that
the
number
one.
Will be going on to an announcement on the forums, so it'll be like, you know, when you go on the forums, every single forum will have like announcement, this is happening, and it'll last till the end of the week, till the Hacker Voice conference. So I'm going to be getting back to doing my stuff on my laptops, writing up the speeches, getting that finished, getting all ready and ready to go for the actual event.
Sweet.
Yeah.
We do have a request from IRC for closing music, which is from our good longtime friend Napster.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, by the way. Let me just,
do you have it?
I might do. I do have a few Red Hot. Just give me a second to search for it, but I will find it.
Cool.
What else? I know you hate Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I didn't know that you knew that, but I actually do really hate them.
I know it. You're like, how does he know this?
Yeah.
How
have you hacksawed my brain?
No, I think you're forgetting something.
What's that?
You're forgetting that on one of the shows, I don't know which episode it was.
I told you.
I played Red Hot Chili Peppers, and then I go, "So, Planet, what do you think about Red Hot Chili Peppers?" And you go, "I think they're fucking wankers, and I don't like the lead singer." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And you're like, "Well, I guess this is completely contrary to your." Belief, and I'm like, well, you know, I like this song because, you know, it touches me in a special way. And you're like, ooh, so yeah, I'm literally quoting this.
Sounds like me.
Yeah. And I've got Warm Tape, but where is it? I know I've got it somewhere here. Californication, by the way, Can't Stop, Unknown. Oh man, I've got the album. I've got the album as By The Way, but I don't have the song. So what I'll do is I'll play Red Hot Chili Peppers' Give It Away, and what else? Warm Take, maybe later on. Okay, so it's a good night from me.
And a good night from me.
Good night, people. Have fun. Take care. Don't drive on the wrong side of the road.